Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Listen now to the word of God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As for you, Bethlehem, one who will be a ruler in Israel on my behalf will come out of you. His origin and from remote times, from ancient days. It's what we all want. It's what we all desire. It's what we all need. Hope. We hope for a brighter day. We hope for a better world. We search for hope. We grasp for hope. We hunger for hope. Yet it seems so difficult to find. But what if Christmas is offering real hope to all who seek it? What if real hope is lying in a manger? As Jesus lies there, God is declaring the hope of his presence with us. As Mary holds this child, God gives us the hope that he's holding us. In a borrowed stable, God has become one of us. Shepherds are kneeling, angels are singing. They are beholding his glory, full of grace and truth. God has left heaven and come to earth to save, to forgive, to redeem, to love. He's crying out with a grand invitation for all humanity. So this Christmas, we can place our hope in the perfect family gathering, and the perfect gift, and the perfect decorations. Or we can bow and worship this living hope who delivers everything he promises.
Living hope. Christ enables each of us to be living hope for the world. Isaiah said that we are the clay and God is the potter. We are the work of God's hands. Let that sink in for a moment. Each one of us is shaped and formed by the work of the master potter. Each one of us is the direct work of God's hands. And now Paul says today in our passage to the church in Corinth, the disciples of Jesus have been enriched in him, and the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among us, so that we are not lacking in any spiritual gift. God is faithful. And God strengthens us all the way to the end. And so it is the beginning of Advent. This is the season of waiting in hope, a time set aside each year to reflect upon what it means that the light of the world came to be with us in the flesh on earth. Now, our morning Bible study that we had the first one, we're going to have four of them through Advent. This first one this morning was about Matthew and Matthew's view of the birth story. And each gospel has a different way of describing the birth story or the importance of Jesus being the light of the world and our hope during Advent. So if you weren't able to come today, it's at 8:15 in the adult ed room, next week too, and the next following weeks. But it's been wonderful to just see what Matthew's viewpoint was of the birth story and how his own personal viewpoint is reflected in the things he emphasized in the birth story. And so Paul is describing to us then how Jesus' birth, how Jesus' presence with us makes a difference in our lives and what we are to do with that difference that Christ makes. And so the Advent season can be seen as an adventure, as we wait for something special to happen again. It can be a time to practice our patience, both as we anticipate the day of the birth of Christ, but also an opportunity to practice patience as we wait in lines and drive in lines in the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season. We are called to be different than others with the amount of patience we have because we have God's peace within us. So notice the shopping malls and the stores, though, they don't call it the Advent season as we do. They call it Christmas because that's what they want you to focus on, the day. The only thing important to them is that you have the right number of gifts purchased before that day, Christmas Day, December 25th. So all the countdowns leading up to the day of Christmas are devoted to you shopping each one of those days. But while in Advent, we promote the anticipation of Christ's birthday. We don't just focus on that day, but on the wonders that await us as we wait and hope for that day. Now, there are many wonderful things that happen while we wait and hope. And this series of Advent sermons suggests that you look for some specific wonders during your waiting. Look for the wonders of strength that you are given during this time. Look for the wonders in the patience you are given. And look for the wonders in the trust that you have in God during your Advent anticipation time of waiting. And I'd love to hear any stories that you can share with me that exemplify some of the ways that you have found God's presence in your life during Advent. What strength have you found during Advent this year? Maybe you have just lost a loved one in your family, and it took all your strength just to get through Thanksgiving, and now Christmas seems daunting. But somehow you find the strength. I wonder how. Maybe you tend to lose your patience during Advent because of the pressures during the Christmas season. But this year, your ability to be patient and loving overflowed somehow. Or maybe you were not quite sure if you really mattered to God at all. You have been feeling small and not very important lately. Not much like a special clay work of art by the master sculptor. And you can't imagine how God could see or know or care about you personally. Yet something happened this Advent that let you trust in God's care for you. Please share these stories with me if these kinds of things do happen for you. These are my hopes for each one of you this Advent. And I am grateful this season that inspires us all to look for wonders around us in our everyday lives. So ponder this from the scripture reading that we have today. It said, the testimony of Christ that Paul talked about is strengthened in you. But he doesn't really say what that testimony is. But I think we all know that testimony of Jesus Christ is simple. That testimony is that God is love. That is the good news that Jesus came to share with all of us. That is the strength from God within you that has shaped and formed your spiritual gifts for ministry in the world today. And you might say, I don't know what spiritual gifts that I have. You have a gift that's given to you inside you from God, and it is the love you have for yourself and for one another. And so your spiritual gifts grow out of that. Any spiritual gift for ministry, your own personal ministry that you have in your life, grows out of that love that God has for you. The Corinthian disciples of old had these gifts in the church in Corinth, too. Your strength, like theirs, is based on God's love. But we learn from Isaiah that that love from God is not all fluffy and pretty. It is strong enough to make mountains quake, as Isaiah described. And Isaiah had such strength that, did you notice how in our scripture today, Isaiah was questioning God and actually challenging God and angry at God? Isaiah was blaming God for their sins because they had not seen evidence of God being with them, that God's presence had been lost in their sight somehow. And so Isaiah was really yelling at God in this passage in the beginning because they hadn't felt or seen evidence for a while that God was there with them. And yet at the end of that verse or that passage, then they say, but we know that we are the clay. We have been formed by the master potter. So even though he was angry at God, he still trusted in God, that God was there somehow for them. But that takes a lot of strength to put it into words like that and shout it out at God. But that also shows a lot of trust when Isaiah does that. The love God gives you strengthens you, though, so that you can help others during this time of waiting. And because so many believe that God never comes for them, many carry around that feeling that Isaiah was describing with them every day, a sense of hopelessness and helplessness, that God isn't there for them. They are always waiting. How empty that must feel. The majority of people in the world, though, still do believe in God, but it is barely a majority today. According to a recent poll by Reuters, just 51% of the world's population believes definitively in God. According to the survey, definitive belief in a God is highest in what country do you think? Anyone want to shout out? What country do you think has the highest percentage of people who believe in God?
South.
I heard one, and that's because Marshall cheated. But I'll give you a hint. We had a missionary here recently from this country. We did have from Africa, that's what, but Indonesia is right. Nita mentioned it. We had missionary Rebecca Young here with us. 93% of the people in Indonesia believe in God. 93%. And the next one will surprise you too, I think, is Turkey. 91% of the people in Turkey believe in God. Followed by Brazil, which is 84%. So I think in Turkey, it's probably the Muslim faith. In Brazil, I think it's Catholicism, 84%. And the next one is South Africa. So you all who said Africa was right, in the top four is South Africa, 83%. And actually, the Presbyterian missionaries were pretty good at getting over to South Africa, so I'll give us a little credit for that. And then the next one, before us, is Mexico. 78% are believers in Mexico, which I think is the Catholic faith primarily. A new Harris poll finds that while a strong majority, 74% of United States adults do believe in God, this belief is in decline now when compared to previous years. Belief in God is in decline, and this is my opinion, but I think it's because so many people have told me this too when I've asked them why they don't believe in God. They say there's not a lot of difference demonstrated in the lives of those who do believe compared with those who don't believe. And that's what I've heard people say when I've asked. Bertrand Russell, you all know probably Bertrand Russell, the writer, philosopher, was once asked how he would explain his unbelief if he died and met God in heaven. Russell said he would tell God, "You didn't give enough evidence." So your faith can help the over 25% in the United States and beyond that have no sense of the presence of God in their lives. Christmas season must seem so materialistic to that segment of the population, and life must seem pretty empty and hopeless without God during Christmas. But that doesn't mean we go out and just drag people into church with us. What it does mean, though, is that we are to show what wonder there is in the waiting of the birth of Jesus Christ. So if we can keep a sense of wonder and curiosity about life and see that God is in everything and help other people see that, that can make such a huge difference. Over Thanksgiving, we were with a family who, the matriarch of the family is 93. Her name's Kitty. And I asked her, what did she think was the reason she was still so healthy and alert? Her brain was as good as it had ever been. And she believes it's because she goes walking every day. And because while she's walking and while she's doing her everyday things, she has not lost her sense of curiosity and her sense of wonder for the world. She said, "I'll go walking with other people and they won't even notice like the beautiful bird that goes by or the beautiful rose that we just passed or, you know, the jet flying over." You know, she notices all the little things and thanks God for them because she sees God in all the tiny things that she walks by. And she said, a lot of people will just keep walking and look at the ground and not even notice. So that's what she credits her brain alertness with. So if you want to put Christ, though, back in Christmas and help other people do that, this is what we do. We show the world how disciples of Christ celebrate Advent and Christmas. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We forgive the guilty. We welcome the unwanted. We care for the ill. Love your enemies and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But it takes incredible strength to do this list and to not succumb to the seduction of consumerism and Christmas shopping chaos. It takes so much strength of heart and mind to keep oneself peaceful during the Advent season. With all the worldly fears encroaching on our sense of peace and security each day, it is easy to succumb to that fear of scarcity that is so pushed at us through the media. Our country has the strongest military machine, basically the most dominant economy, and a fine healthcare system compared to all the rest of the countries in the world. And yet we remain fearful and unsure about our future because our fears are fanned by the media. When the beheadings are on our TV screen every other week or so, and the obliteration of people's homes in Gaza or the war in Syria, causing displaced refugees all around the world, how can we have strength and inner peace during Advent? Well, one way to combat the chaos in the world is to focus your energies on helping, for example, with the Giving Tree program that we have here. Our goal is to have 70 families taken care of this year, and we have the ornaments still on the tree for you to take home with you and bring back the gifts that have been specifically ordered for these families so that the children can have Christmas. I remember working with families like this in outside of Washington, D.C., and I had never been in a place where the mothers would say to me, "Don't talk about Christmas. Don't decorate for Christmas. Don't plan anything to celebrate here for Christmas." And I said, "Why?" I could not understand it. And they said, "Because we have nothing to give our children. We have no money for presents. And so if they get their hopes up, they'll just be disappointed." That was so hard for me to think about. And so we did get connected to the Toys for Tots program and some of the programs that would guarantee that the children would at least have one present for Christmas in our program. Another way is to purchase your gifts from the alternative Christmas shopping list that's in your bulletin today. And I have found, especially for like teachers or people that get tons of little knick-knacky things for Christmas, that they love getting these cards for Christmas that say that a gift was given in their name to pay for a blanket for someone who is homeless or to pay for snacks for the Boys and Girls Club. They love having these cards instead of the little things that will just take up room in their houses. So by giving meaningful gifts of our time, too, to go volunteer at one of the free meals that are given out or here at our breakfast program, giving your time and talent through the church and through other worthwhile charities, then you are giving yourself the gift of peace. And the blessings do come back to you, maybe not immediately, but eventually. All of us believers in God, in the global church, are called by God to live out a vision of peace and justice for all of God's children. And that shapes our response then to these global fears. Justice cannot roll down like waters if we don't respond to our Messiah's call to stop trusting in false gods during Advent. We must embrace God's true vision of peace and justice with our lives. And while we wait in the wonder of the Advent season, let us call upon our Emmanuel for strength and courage in mind and in heart. And I want to close with a wonderful example of a disciple of Christ showing strength in the midst of chaos and fear was our beloved Reverend Rit Anderson. One of the ways Rit showed Christ-inspired strength and peace was in an essay that he wrote in response to the tragedy of 9/11. He titled it, "The Road Best Traveled." He said, "I have priceless beliefs and strong convictions. I believe society is a family affair, that each of us happily depends on others, and that others expect to depend on me. I believe that living well together is expensive, and I am eager to share my part. And I expect my neighbor to share in theirs. So I want to go on the offensive. What I believe is so important that I want others to hear it, to share it, to live it, and proclaim its value to the world. I want to spread our light to dispel the present gloom, to see the scowls disappear and joyous smiles replace them. But I refuse to close my ears and mind, for answers that I seek may be from another's brain, and answers that my neighbors seek may be in mine. Can we not listen to each other? Can we not see the value of another's thinking? Can we not allow ideas to unite us rather than separate us? What made us Americans so reluctant to accept someone else's values? What caused us to be so edgy and bristly with each other? Has the terrorist won by getting us to war against each other, to distrust each other, and stop honoring each other? Did 9/11 make us fearful of every thought that comes from another? Surely you are as eager for peace as I. Certainly you want better days ahead. I am eager to hear a remedy for our illnesses. My heart cries out for those who seek unity and respect for each other, which to me, and I hope to you, is the American way. Our present course leads to disaster. It's up to us to take a better road ahead. And so let us go and do as Rit suggested, and as Paul taught the Corinthians, and use the strength that Christ has enriched in us to promote a sense of God's peace this Advent. As we wait for the Christ child, once again, use all your strength and hope to keep Christ in Christmas by presenting the evidence that God is love. Amen. You may be seated. Today, as we come to our prayer of the people, we do want to remember all of the families of those who a loved one has passed. You can see in the bulletin here a list of all those that we're praying for with health issues, too. And I'm sorry, I did hear that Susan Noble's mother passed, and I'm glad to have Susan here with us, but we're so sorry that your mom has passed. We are thankful that Helen McKenzie is back with us after spending time in the hospital. So I'm glad Helen made it today. Such strength you have. And Alice Crouch is here with friends, and Ted is coming home soon now. Do we know a day? Wednesday, Ted Crouch gets to come home. So we're very thankful for that, too. Yay. And today we had a request for prayers for Judith for help with physical troubles. So let us pray our prayer of the people and keep these people in mind and our loved ones too that we haven't mentioned as we pray responsively. Watching and waiting for the coming of Christ, we pray for the promise of a new creation, saying,
"Come quickly, Lord, our hope is in you."
With expectation, we pray for the church. Let your reign of love shape us as a master potter skillfully forms a vessel, that we may reveal your loving beauty to the world.
Come quickly, Lord, our hope is in you.
With expectation, we pray for the world. Draw near to us to those who wait for you. Break into their circumstances with blessing. Heal the earth that desperately needs your restoration. With expectation, we pray for this community. Transform the places in which we live. Grant that the gifts you have given all of us may be used for the common good.
Come quickly, Lord. Our hope is in you.
With expectations, we pray for loved ones. Comfort all who suffer and despair. Assure them of your presence and care. Empower us to be your instruments of peace and healing.
Come quickly, Lord. Our hope is in you.
God, our hope, as the promised day approaches, strengthen us with the joy of your Holy Spirit as we serve you faithfully through Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I want to thank you all for a wonderful year of ministry here. It is an honor and a privilege for me and my whole family to be the pastor here. So thank you for a fast and great year. It's gone by really fast. And I would love to see images or hear stories that demonstrate evidence of God's strength and hope for you this week. We'll post some up on our Facebook page is what we would like to do. And so, for example, this image is a small red maple tree that I planted a few months ago. I transplanted it. It was up against our fence and up against a big bush, and it wasn't doing well there at all. And so I was so worried that the move and the extreme trimming that we did might kill it. But look at these tiny little leaves. I hope you can see them on there. And they're just popping out now. But this strong little tree is showing for me hope in nature's resilience that I think God works through all of us. And it's for me a wonderful sign of hope during this time of waiting. So now just may you leave here with that sense of hope. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.